Welcome to Play the Advantage U.S. Men's National Team Podcast. I'm Danny Day alongside Cody Carlson. Cody and I were college soccer teammates, and we are big U.S. Men's National Team fans. This podcast covers everything U.S. Men's National Team related.
And the U.S. Men's National Team is going to the round of 16. Danny Day here alongside Cody Carlson. As always, we have a special guest today as well, Gabe Ramirez. We are in the World Cup, folks, and the USA, after three games, is advancing. Cody, Gabe, how are you guys feeling?
We are doing great. Gabe and I were able to watch the game today, and we are stoked to be in the round of 16. Isn't that right, Mr. Ramirez?
You might say we love it.
We love it. We love it.
We love it.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh. Whoa, whoa, whoa. How you doing, Danny? You good?
I am fantastic. That was a stressful 90, maybe 100 minutes of soccer that we saw there. I could not wait for that referee to blow the final whistle. When he did, I was a happy man because those stoppage time minutes were a little bit too much for me. But thankfully, we had Zimmerman back there to clear that ball away.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And the exhale that we were all able to do at the end was a complete stress relief that was very, very needed.
Cody is still doing breath exercises as we speak.
I would expect nothing less. I would expect nothing less. So we haven't talked to you guys, all of our followers here on Play the Advantage U.S. Men's National Team since pre-World Cup when we talked a little roster release. And boy, oh boy, you know, we haven't seen many goals. But that U.S. Men's National Team defense has been stout three games, only given up one goal, and that was a PK. First time in 92 years, I saw the U.S. Men's National Team post this, first time in 92 years, we've had multiple shutouts at the same World Cup, so since 1930. So Matt Turner cementing his legendary status as we speak. But, yeah, I mean, we can talk about all three games. Overall, very pleased. Obviously, we're advancing to the next round, but anything you guys particularly want to touch on and, you know, maybe the Wales or England draws that we had?
I just want to say quickly, we didn't give up any goals in the 2018 World Cup.
We were prolific.
Other than that, we can dive in wherever you want.
Fair point. Zero goals against, zero goals scored, but very prolific.
Technically undefeated at the 2018 World Cup, weren't we?
Yeah, haven't lost since 2014.
Right. So, yeah, there's another obscure stat. Look at you going, diving deep 92 years to grab this stat. For that. No, but that's great. I mean, look, giving up one penalty kick to MLS already legend Gareth Bale was, if that's the only goal we're conceding in three group stage games, that's a good sign. We've only scored two goals, but undefeated in group stage, that makes me happy, right? 1-1 against Wales, 0-0 against England, and I guess, you know, an England team that's supposed to beat us on paper. And then, beating Iran today was phenomenal, right? And punching our ticket into the Sweet 16, if you will. That's my college reference, right? The Sweet 16, not the round of 16, right? It's pretty sweet, I think. So, Danny, we've been doing this a little bit, over the last year, and this is right where we wanted to be, man. Isn't it? I mean, this is what we had been dreaming about and really hoping for. Fingers crossed that this young group of players could have, you know, we knew that we had the talent and the abilities, but to actually have it come to fruition today is pretty vindicating and makes us pretty damn happy, I would say. Don't you agree?
Yeah, proud to be a fan of the U.S. men's national team today. Yeah, I mean, we started this conversation, you know, even just the three of us and, you know, maybe, you know, a number of other people as well who have been included in the conversation, friends of ours, and, you know, a couple of years ago, just, man, this U.S. team has a lot of talent, guys playing for big clubs all across Europe. Obviously, a number of guys who are on this team, too, who are in the MLS and doing well, but can we put it all together? First of all, can we get back to the World Cup? And second of all, are we going to actually do anything when we get there? Gabe, I know, you know, you had some over-unders going into this World Cup. I think you hit it pretty head-on on one. Did you actually expect us, though, to get out of the group? I'm wondering on that one.
I'm actually 4-for-4 so far in the Fox Soccer, group picks challenge with getting Netherlands in first, Senegal in second, and then England in first and us in second.
You're amazing.
I mean, it's all downhill from here, you know. Start strong, finish soft.
Right.
But I think we've got to be kind of, you know, we're happy with the results. At the end of the day, we can question some of the decisions made, but, you know, we're out of the group stage. We're into the round of 16 in a game that I feel is winnable. And I haven't looked that far into the group to see what comes after the Netherlands, but I think we could be there.
Okay. So to all of our Netherlands listeners out there, Gabe Ramirez feeling very excited about the prospect of taking on the Netherlands. So
yeah, I mean, if their best player is a Cody, I feel like we're in the clear.
Fair enough.
I saw some stat. I mean, I'm not sure if it was just from Netherlands or if it was World Cup, but he scored in all three group games. Impressive from the young man there.
Three straight games, three straight goals.
Yeah, not bad. Well, so Cody, it is vindicating. I mean, we this has kind of been building all the way up to this World Cup. We got here, and now we got out of the group. I feel like for all of us, that was the hope and goal of, I mean, not only getting here, but again, being able to advance out of the group would be massive, massive result with one of the youngest, if not the youngest teams at the World Cup. Today, the U.S. started the youngest starting lineup of any team in this World Cup of 24 years and some odd days. So not only is the future bright, but man, this team could make some serious noise as we go forward here. I mean, we hope they do well against the Netherlands, but regardless, what an incredible achievement even just thus far.
Yeah, definitely an incredible achievement considering how young they are, maybe inexperienced they are at the world stage and everything. So to be right where we are is pretty fun and exciting to watch. And I think, you know, Berhalter had a statement where he said, on any given day, we can hang with anybody in the world. We can go toe-to-toe with anybody in the world. So if we're at our best, I think we can hang with Netherlands and anybody beyond that. But obviously it gets harder and harder the further you go. You know, we were able to hang with England in the second match in our group stage toe-to-toe and you know, potentially even edge them in chance creation and the better chances of the game. You know, pull a sick ripping one off the top of the crossbar there, and you know, probably the best chance of that. So it shows promise, right? And yeah, definitely excited. Obviously, Netherlands will be a tough one. You know, we could easily go out, and we could easily, well, not easily, but we could go past them as well. So looking forward to it. But how do you want to kind of go through this, Danny? Do you want to go, you know, start from the first game, move through the second game, and into the third game? Do you want to work backwards? How do you want to?
Yeah, but let's just maybe give our kind of, I mean, just highlights what we want to pick out from the Wales game first. I mean, that goal was a phenomenal goal. Pulisic, you know, combining with Musa and Sargent there in the middle to break the lines, and then a great through ball to Tim Weah. I mean, Gabe, you know, you've ran in behind the lines a few times, scored a few goals of your own. That's a great finish from Tim Weah.
Oh, he loves an outside of the foot finish. He did one today, just was offside by a kneecap or an arm, whatever you want to call it. But has been informed the entire World Cup so far. And might be our best attacking player so far this part in the tournament.
I agree. And for me as a coach and that little sequence playing into the nine and Sargent laying it off underneath to Pulisic, who's coming in from the left flank underneath the nine into that pocket there, taking a burst, you know, explosive touch forward and then slipping Tim Weah, making a diagonal run through onto goal and perfectly weighted through ball pass from Pulisic into Weah, allowing him to hit it first time with the outside of the boot into the corner of the goal. I mean, up back through, like a simple, easy combination play sequence that it was fantastic. Like that is the picture of what we want to see and what Berhalter has been trying to get us to accomplish. It just feels like it's few and far between, but to actually have it be like, you know, in the World Cup, that sequence to get a goal off of it was phenomenal. So yeah, definitely had chills running down my spine with how that soccer goal was accomplished in that Wales game, Danny.
Yeah, no kidding. I mean, it was fun to see. Yeah, that worked together. I think one of the challenges we've seen throughout this World Cup and really throughout Berhalter's tenure has been that whoever is playing at the nine. Now, with that being said, I will say I don't think that Sargent, who started that game, or Haji Wright, have necessarily played bad throughout this World Cup. But again, I think in Berhalter's system, and maybe just the performance on the striker in the day of, we've never had a standout performance from the nine. And I'm not sure how we get around that. A lot of our attack flows through the wingers, through our center mids, and we don't have a Harry Kane, quote unquote, up top. Gabe, what do you see out there that maybe that you think that the U.S. could do better in terms of integrating that nine into the team and making sure that they're not a ghost, which it seems like half of these games, they usually are ghosts.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I don't play the numbers game either, really. And saying someone's, cornholed into a certain number or position. I don't really understand all the clamor for Jesus Ferreira, personally. I think that the performance Sargent put in, hopefully he's healthy. He looked in good spirits after the game. He was, bouncing around and giving people hugs and not at the hospital, unfortunately, like Pulisic. But Haji is obviously getting killed in the media right now with his decision-making, I guess, in that last 15. But also it was a formation I can't really ever remember the U.S. team playing. So, having CCV next to Tim Ream, next to Zimmerman, with Shaq on the outside. I mean, Cody and I were discussing earlier, it's like, was Greg just playing poker earlier in the qualifying, just not calling in, Haji or Shaq or any of these players that end up playing big minutes in the World Cup? And, it's hard to judge players on 25 minutes, and especially in a formation that literally we've never seen them play. But if Sargent's healthy, he deserves to start against the Netherlands. But again, you're going to go up against Virgil van Dijk. So, it's no small task.
Well, I think I'd take Sargent ahead of Ferreira in this game against the Netherlands, just based on how Sargent played in this last game against Iran. I thought Sargent was pretty darn good against Wales as well. I mean, not great in terms of like chance creation or getting quality shots off or anything like that, but he offers that physicality in the defensive side of the game when they're pressing. And then, like I said, the hold-up play to get the goal, the layoff underneath the Christian that springs our goal into Wea was great. So, here's something, Danny. If you and me were to have guessed that Haji Wright would get as many minutes as he's gotten in these games, I mean, if we'd have bet on that, we would be filthy rich now. I mean, it's pretty crazy, right? I mean, no one was talking about Haji Wright even getting on the roster, let alone playing.
Yeah, you're not wrong. I mean, Haji Wright, after his performance in June down on the road at El Salvador, Greg Berhalter gave him a chance down there. And then after the game had choice words that basically saying he played poorly and wasn't good enough. So after that, we didn't see Haji Wright again in the September window. We kind of just crossed him off the list, saying, sorry, Haji. All of a sudden, he finds himself on the roster and getting a start against England and obviously coming in late into the game today against Iran. I want to go back to the Wales game real quick. Right, so obviously, unfortunately, Walker Zimmerman makes the foul in like the 83rd minute, takes out Gareth Bale. Gareth Bale scores the PK, tie it, and the game ends 1-1. But that game may not have ended 1-1 had Kellen Acosta not taken Gareth Bale out in like the 100 and whatever minute, right at the end there, where Matt Turner comes off his line, heads the ball, right? Kind of a interesting play from Turner. And then he's out of his goal 40 yards out. Gareth Bale about to shoot from about the midline, and Kellen Acosta takes him out. Had he not done that, Gareth Bale may have buried that shot. So anyway, props to Kellen Acosta. A really smart tactical foul there.
That was a big time play from Kellen, and really a game saving moment late on to pick up that yellow card and just hack Gareth Bale from that far out. I mean, because with his quality, I think he's going to bury that chance from half field with Turner out of the goal, right? So big time play from Kellen there. Just anything else on the Wales game? I think the big thing for me from the subbing perspective was getting DeAndre Yedlin in for Dest, which was a little bit of, okay, I mean, look, we've got him, we've got Shaq Moore, and we've got Joe Scally as the options for right back when Dest needs a breather. Yedlin was not great, which is maybe why we saw Shaq Moore in the next two games. Now, that being said, we can talk about Shaq Moore not being great either, in my opinion. But the big one, Danny, was Jordan Morris gets the call to sub in late for Tim Weah when Gio Reyna is left on the bench. And I think all of us were, you know, arms in air going, what is happening? Why is Jordan Morris? I mean, no offense to him, but Gio Reyna is a better player. What the heck is going on? Why is Greg Berhalter making this decision? That one was a crazy one. I think you and I had talked about, we're probably not going to see Jordan Morris play. And then here he is ahead of Gio Reyna. I mean, that was pulling your hair out, wasn't it?
I was completely flabbergasted. And yeah, what do you think about that?
What was his answer as to why he played ahead?
Yeah, I think his answer, Berhalter's answer, was it was a coach's decision and we were looking for speed and power.
Yeah.
And if you don't think that Gio Reyna could bring that for you, that's shocking. You know, I guess Gio Reyna maybe does bring other capabilities, but I believe he also has speed and power too, which is why he's one of the most sought after.
What does that even mean?
Sought after players, young players in the world right now. The fact that we've seen 7 or 8 minutes from Gio Reyna so far in this World Cup is shocking to me. Debatably one of our top three most talented players. But whether it's Greg's system, whether, you know, there's been talk about Gio Reyna potentially being injured, not seeing him in that game and having Morris come in over him was shocking. Yeah, we saw Gio Reyna come in against England late in that game, 7, 8 minutes, but, you know, couldn't really do much. And then we didn't see him today against Iran. Now, I can maybe understand a little bit why we didn't see him today against Iran, just because of the situation. I hope we see him against the Netherlands, though.
Yeah, and the other question I have is, this whole thing with, it's always been about Greg and his system, and then, you know, a lot of the players he's playing a ton of minutes this World Cup have not been part of the system for the last year and a half, 2 years. So, you know, while we understand that he wants to play a certain way, for them to not be a part of the setup and the qualifying, and then now they are part of the system, it's kind of just a little confusing what changed and/or, you know, what made him decide differently now in the biggest games of the next 4 years.
Yeah, and I agree. And it's also like, okay, so we're frustrated with these decisions. But at the end of the day, these decisions that Berhalter made got us two draws, which were frustrating as they could be. But those points ended up, and then the win today against Iran. So in some ways, it's like hard to question how he went about his decisions because they got us through. Had Iran scored right at the end here, this game, which looked more and more likely as the stoppage time went on, we would be having a very different conversation right now. And we would all be basically calling, you know, saying Berhalter needs to resign tomorrow. But thankfully, the U.S. held on for the win against Iran. Maybe before we touch more on the Iran stuff, Cody, anything more from Wales or anything you want to touch on England? I mean, for the U.S. to get a draw against one of the potential World Cup favorites and really outplayed them, as you mentioned, Pulisic with the better chance, you know, off the crossbar, and overall we outshot them. I think it was a really good performance overall from the U.S. in that game.
Yeah, so just a, you know, final thought on the Wales game. Sure. The first half was phenomenal, and we bossed the game, and we scored 1-0 and had all the chances, all the possession. And for as good as the first half against Wales was, it was equally as bad for the second half. And, you know, Wales brought on Kiefer Moore, target forward with a lot of size and height and power and physicality and really changed the game on how they played and caused us to really struggle and adapt to that, you know, and ended up, you know, in a tie, which felt, that tie felt like a loss in some ways, right? That felt like drop points. And so as frustrating as that result was, for us to get up, turn around and play England in an underdog role and come out with a 0-0 tie, that tie against England felt more like a win, didn't it? Right. With how we played and how we demonstrated that we can, okay, we can play with these guys. We can go toe to toe with, you know, one of the favorites, and we can, you know, put together two complete halves of soccer. You know, whereas the first game we put together the first half of good soccer and the second half was left a lot to be desired. So putting two 45s together was great. You know, we had Christian hitting the top of the crossbar against England, probably the best chance of the game. And then Weston McKennie had one as well that came on a half volley from across that he wasn't able to, you know, he was leaning back a little bit and hit it over the top of the crossbar. Couldn't quite keep it down. Tough technical skill to be able to keep it low and on frame. But, you know, probably those were our two best chances. And then for us to really, you know, limit England's chances, Harry Kane had one early on that Walker Zimmerman got right in front of and had a massive block from a cutback opportunity that Harry Kane was trying to hit low and on frame, and it was going on frame, but Walker got in front and blocked it out for a corner kick, I think. So that was probably England's best chance of the whole game. And then Mason Mount had one where he took a low shot that required Turner to make a save, but not too challenging for our guy in the net. So, yeah, definitely happy with that. And the last thing that I'll say, you know, Berhalter has come under, you know, a lot of questions with his subbing decisions and some tactical decisions and whatnot. Credit where credit's due. His defensive system of play to go in a 4-4-2 with Haji Wright and Tim Weah up top, Musa and Adams side by side in the middle of the park, McKennie on the right wing and Pooley on the left wing, was phenomenal. It eliminated England from being able to play centrally into their sixes, into Declan Rice and to Jude Bellingham. I mean, Jude Bellingham was an absolute ghost, right? And so that system that we played in defense in a mid to low block against England worked like a charm. And yeah, so total credit to how Berhalter set up our team in that defensive scheme, because it worked very well. And yeah, tip of the hat to him on that one. So yeah, I think that's kind of my thoughts on the England game. What do you want to add there, Danny?
No, I mean, I think you covered it. Tactically very sound. You know, there was just, you could tell that the team was up for it and knew that, hey, this is an important game, not only for points in the table here, but also to try to make sure that we're showing that we can play with anybody and that we're not backing down and that we're going to go toe-to-toe with you, England, and we're going to outplay you. Because quite frankly, that's what happened. So was proud of the team. Would have loved to have seen a win, but at the end of the day, got a point and moved on to the Iran game here. And as we come into today, knowing that a win and only a win is going to see the U.S. go through. Iran kind of basically takes the game, goes into today's game with a half goal lead, more or less, because they know that they can draw. So the urgency that we saw from the U.S. in that first half, I thought was phenomenal. Just pinging it around and then work our way all the way up to the goal. I mean, the goal started from Matt Turner all the way in the back with a great long ball out and controlled by, I believe it was Sargent or Tim Weah up top. Plays it wide.
Weah had a one touch.
Yes.
Was it Dest?
Dest. Yeah, it might have been Dest or McKennie, whoever was out there supporting him. And worked the way all the way up. And it probably was, yeah, Dest, you're right. And then got to the left side. Adams brought it forward, dropped it back to McKennie. Then Dest made that shooting run up the right side. McKennie, great long ball over the top. Dest with the perfect header across to Pooley in the middle, who made the timely run and buried it one time off the half volley. So as good as you can get, and was really exciting to see that the U.S. could build all the way up from the back and then bury the chance, that something that they haven't done so far this tournament.
Really good to see that goal. And Gabe and I were watching and we both kind of went, oh, because Christian got clocked right in the nether regions, it appears. And
his ding ding.
Yeah. his, yeah, you know what, got put on the line, right, for the country. And yeah, he paid the price. But man, what a warrior. The guy, you know, was able to finish out the half. He came back on and was able to grind through some pain and finish out the half before, you know, obviously being subbed at halftime. And the guy went to the hospital to get x-rayed, and he's got an abdomen contusion, which I think is a fancy way of getting hit in the balls, right?
Technically, a pelvic contusion. So okay,
exactly. Yeah. Oh my God! Don't get me fired. Yeah. So,
I will say, before that even happened, he needs to work on his set pieces. I don't know what the deal is with this set piece coach that's getting paid to do whatever he's doing, but yeah.
No kidding.
It's not
working.
Not working so well on either end, to be honest.
Feels like since the set piece coach has come on, the set pieces have gotten worse.
You said it, not me.
Yeah.
Even Aaronson's weren't that great. So it wasn't even just the Pulley thing.
Can we just talk about Christian Pulisic real quick? I mean, what a hero right now.
Which part of him?
His whole body, his being. But Christian Pulisic, what a big game player. Obviously, he gets the goal today, the goal that we needed, that sends us through the group. He had the assist against Wales, right? So he is our creator. But not just that, right? Qualifying, he scores the hat trick against Panama. He also scored, and that was the game that essentially clinched our spot in the World Cup. He scored against Mexico at home in the Man in the Mirror game, right? That's not even mentioning his club record, right? He's scored against Real Madrid in the Champions League semifinals. He's done incredible things, scoring against Liverpool, Man City over the course of his career. The guy steps up when it matters most, and he has gotten a lot of flack over the course of his career, U.S. and club. But, man, did the guy step up today and put his body on the line and sacrifice to send the U.S. through to the next round. So, I mean, just props to Christian Pulisic.
Total vindication for him to silence all the haters and to just prove that, yes, he is a big game player. He is the guy for the national team of the United States. And you know, put the goal through, you know, Landon Donovan-esque, you know, from 2010 against Algeria, right? Similar type of situation. You need to win. You need to score. Game on the line. Our best attacking player gets it done, right? Somehow, some way, finds the back of the net. And, you know, for Christian to get injured in the play just shows his bravery, his courage, and then his toughness to still be able to finish out the half before not being able to go in the second half. But, I mean, man, he's had a great tournament so far. And, I don't think we would be advancing without him, clearly. And so we're hoping that he's going to be ready for Saturday against the Netherlands, which it sounds like he is, according to what he's been saying. He says he'll be good to go. Yeah, man, Christian Pulisic has been phenomenal. Someone else that I want to call to attention, someone else that I think may have been even more better, believe it or not, than Pulisic, Tyler freaking Adams. I mean, unbelievable, this guy. Oh, captain, my captain.
Oh, captain, my captain.
Man, this guy has everything. Covering ground, breaking up plays, winning the ball, winning tackles, what? Winning headers.
What?
Motivational what? Speeches and words. Candid, well-thought-out responses to journalistic attacks in the pregame or, interviews, right?
He learned how to say the country right.
He responded with some elegance and some class when a journalist was trying to get after him, get under his skin and create some tension and animosities. This is the guy that deserves to wear the captain's band for United States ahead of anyone else. And it's pretty spectacular that he is one of the younger ones. And it's phenomenal to see, right? Gabe, Danny Day,
over 12.5 years, Tyler Adams is captain for the United States men's national team going forward.
Oh, are you saying over under, or are you taking the over?
I'm asking you over under.
12.5 years, that would put him at about, what, 35 years old?
30, is he in that? Yeah, 34, 35, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could see the over on that. I mean, I think he's got a legendary career ahead of him.
Yeah.
But the way, I mean, he's also a big game player.
Right. He's never going to give up the armband again.
No, absolutely not.
I would assume.
Cemented his spot as the U.S. captain. You know, it had been kind of a trio of him, Zimmerman, Pulisic wearing it. And, you know, Pulisic had worn it and done well in the past. But I think that it was the right decision by the team and Berhalter to hand that captain's armband to Adams. Because in some ways, I think that maybe Pulisic always felt a lot of pressure when he was wearing it. Yeah, so now to have
that. Oh, is there a commercial about that?
True. But I mean, now Pulisic is, you know, he's playing free. I mean, he is playing. These are like the best three games we've probably seen from him in the U.S. shirt, just in terms of his overall performances in a long time, in terms of a three-game stretch. And so for Adams then to step into that captain's role, vocal, gets the job done, does the dirty work all over the field. I mean, this guy was sold to Leeds for $24 million or something. Really inexpensive when you look at it now. As he's going to be a potential transfer option, and a lot of big clubs are already looking at him. I'm sure Leeds are going to want to hold on to him to try to save out a relegation battle. But Tyler Adams, yeah, Cody, you're right. I think he's the man of the minute, for the man of the hour for the U.S.
He's the engine. If we don't have Tyler Adams, then we're not hanging in these three games that we've played, right? From the defensive side and the attacking side, right? He kind of goes unnoticed to the untrained eye, but everything that he does on and off the ball, offensively and defensively, is world-class. So, yeah, Leeds will be lucky to hold on to him, I think, to be honest, because I think some bigger clubs might be coming after him after his performances in this World Cup. So, Tyler Adams, man. Oh, captain, my captain. This is our guy for sure. So,
I want to give maybe a couple of shout outs to, I mean, they were awesome. Yunus Musa turned 20 today. He's been phenomenal this tournament in terms of ball progression, just clinical on the ball, passing, moving. He and Weston McKennie have also been key in that midfield trio. The MMA midfield has probably been maybe the biggest reason, if not the reason as to why U.S. has been playing so well.
Still very young. There's obviously like a mistake or two between each one of the three, you know, throughout the game, but they're also good enough to cover for each other. So it seems like whenever one of them gives away possession, one of the other three is right, or one of the other two is right there behind them to kind of sweep up.
And I think that's what makes them so good, because they are all great individuals, but I think that cohesively they're even better than what they are as individuals, which is so important. But I was going to say, I feel like today of all three games, we got great performances from Anthony Robinson and Serginho Dest. Dest in particular in that first half, I thought, was just flying around. Yeah, he got the assist, a great header across, but flying around, combining, putting some really good crosses in. And we hadn't seen that a ton from him yet this World Cup. And I thought today he really stepped up in a big way. It wasn't perfect, but I thought for him it was good. Anthony Robinson gave us his usual 90-plus minutes of incredibly hard work, putting in good crosses, good defensively. So the outside backs, really, from front to back, I don't think you can really say that any U.S. player has really played poorly in this World Cup.
Yeah, I think we
that just makes the that makes the subs all the more confusing at the same time. But it's as you said, it keeps working out. So we can only question it so much.
I mean, I think that's part of the hard part for all the. I mean, and I'm one of the biggest Gio Reyna fans myself, and I want to see him in there. But at the same time, I'm thinking, well, when is he going to come in? Because everyone in front of him is playing really well. Now with that and the situation in each of the games, you know, the Wales game, the U.S. is leading, right? So that they're in the lead. You don't necessarily need to bring in a creative attacker. Against England, I thought they could have subbed him in quite a bit earlier. But then today's game, I could understand why Greg Berhalter did not bring him in. Now, had Iran scored and we had made all five subs by the 80th minute, then we would have been in a really bad spot and had no creative attackers. We put in two defensive subs late, right? But yeah, so I guess for the substitutions and all the questions being asked of Greg for that, you know, you have to say that he put it right today.
Yeah, I think I've gone back and forth about his decisions today, and I think I go more with agreeing with what he did in terms of towards the end, late game subs. He's trying to hold on for the lead, so he's getting in Kellen Acosta to shore us up defensively in the defensive midfield area. And then he's putting Walker Zimmerman in, right, and making a three-back or three center backs. Really became a five-back because Jedi and then Shaq Moore subbed in as well for Dest, and they were tucked back in as a back five, really, because we were absorbing pressure and trying to hang on for the last 10 to 15 minutes, to be honest. But, you know, Zimmerman, I was good with. I thought that was a great sub, and it turned out to pan out well because he won the majority of his air balls that were pumped into the box, and that's his bread and butter, right? That's what he's there for, to win those air balls and those challenges and just kind of be that sturdy rock. So I was good with that. You know, Shaq Moore for Dest. Apparently Shaq Moore has moved up in the depth chart ahead of, you know, DeAndre Yedlin or Joe Scally. He makes me nervous. He had a couple kind of sketchy plays, and there was one where he just blatantly passed it to an Iranian player late in the game, and they come right back at us, and I'm going, what are we doing? This is not it. So but it, you know, would Yedlin or Scally do better? Who's to say? That one makes me nervous a little bit. But yeah, the main question, like you're talking about, Danny, is Gio Reyna. How come we couldn't get him in there? And Greg Berhalter's getting a ton of hate for, you need to get Gio Reyna into this game to get us some more possession in the midfield, to have us an outlet and a player to keep the ball for us instead of just hanging on against the ropes for the last 15, 20 minutes, right? Which I can see that point as well. I can see that mindset too. And certainly if Iran had tied the game and eliminated us, then yeah, of course, that's what everyone's saying. But what ended up happening is not that, luckily. And now I got to think that with Gio Reyna having only played, you know, 10 minutes more or less against England, I think he subbed in the 83rd minute against England, and that's it. I would think that he's going to get a significant chunk of minutes against the Netherlands. That's going to be a game where
you think
we
so?
I think so. I think so.
What's going to change in Greg's mind that's going to say, okay, this game against the Netherlands, now it's time to play Gio?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I just think that with the minutes that have been logged on some of our front guys, meaning Pulisic, Weah, Musa, McKennie mainly, I mean, those are the spots where Gio could come in for, more or less. I mean, Pulisic went to the hospital today, right? He's taking some knocks, right? I mean, Weah's been running and gunning for three games straight. He's done extremely well. But yeah, he's logged a lot of minutes. Musa was gassed today. He left it all on the field. So proud of him. I mean, he almost collapsed to the ground after the final whistle because he literally ran himself into the ground. So, you know, he's only 20 and the guy is built like a machine, but still, I mean, running like that takes its toll. And then McKennie got subbed out for Acosta, right? But yeah, McKennie's logged a ton of minutes as well. So I think I'd love to go with MMA midfield again, but when one of those guys seems to start to kind of falter, maybe 60th minute, I think Gio has got to give us a quality 30 minutes at the end of the game.
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to see it. I think, again, it's been interesting just because of each of the game states. We've either been in both the Wales and Iran games, we've been leading, right? By the 60th minute, 70th minute, we've been in the lead. So maybe that's, you know, again, we haven't been chasing the game. England, we've been tied. You know, you wonder if, say, Netherlands, we go behind or we're behind at halftime, how does that change how Greg is going to make subs? You hope it does. But Yeah, I mean, honestly, Shaq Moore, you mentioned Shaq, and I was very high on him coming into this tournament. He has not played well so far in his a couple of appearances. Yedlin, obviously, we saw him come in. I doubt we see Joe Scally, just based on kind of where he seems like Berhalter has him ranked in the pecking order. But
there is no pecking order anymore. You know, Aaron Long was number two for the longest time, and now he's played both Ream and CCV over him.
That's
but
true.
At the same time, he's obviously not doesn't seem to be valuing getting Scally any playing time at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, I would say I don't think I would necessarily play Scally either because he hasn't played any World Cup minutes. I mean, Dest is obviously your starter.
So then no more Jesus Ferreira then. What's this Jesus Ferreira narrative?
I am surprised. I mean, Jesus Ferreira seemed like he was Greg's guy, and then all of a sudden hasn't seen 1 minute yet. So that's been surprising to me too.
Well, and every commentator's calling for him too, it seems like, at least on the American coverage.
Well, because Sargent and Wright have been fine, but they haven't been great. So maybe we've been searching for this nine for years and years, and we haven't found the answer yet. I mean, again, they were fine. They did a job. But I mean, I think I'd love to see someone who can do something a little bit different too. So I wouldn't mind seeing Ferreira.
So then you want to see that against the Netherlands? You want him up against Virgil van Dijk?
I'd be interested to see how Josh Sargent, what his health is. I'd rather see Ferreira instead of Wright, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, again, Wright, I think, has done.
That's like 5'10", 180 versus 6'4", 240 or whatever Virgil van Dijk is. It's a real, I mean, luckily Netherlands hasn't shown much going forward, but it's not going to be an easy game. Or an easy defense to go up against it. I mean.
Yeah. No, you're right. Also, I wanted to maybe, you mentioned defense. We haven't talked anything about Tim Ream and CCV. Again, Tim Ream, yeah, incredible. He steps back in after being essentially, you know, banished from the U.S. for over a year. And at the time, I mean, you and me, Cody, both felt that we don't want to see Tim Ream anymore. He's too old. He's over the hill. He's done.
And he Cody apologized to me for him today. Yeah. It was big. It was a big moment.
Yes. Yeah. And he has had a resurgence, right? I mean, he has been debatably our best player.
Yeah. I mean, he's been phenomenal. And I'm first to put my hand up and say that I was wrong. And I'm really happy that I'm wrong, to be honest. Because when Tim Ream got cooked in the UEFA Nations League game against Mexico, and we conceded a goal, I was going, okay, he's done. And then the resurgence that he's had playing with Fulham this season in the Premier League and alongside, you know, Anthony Robinson, that kind of partnership, the left-footed left-back and left-back, left-footed center-back and left-back at Fulham is now translating into the U.S. men's national team's back line, which has been great. But Ream, he's hardly put a foot wrong in these three games. Positioning, his awareness, no, he's not the fastest or most athletic, but he's the smartest of our defenders, no doubt, right? And so I was telling Gabe today when we were watching the game, like, it's almost like he has a magnet on him for, you know, just the ball seems to go right to him. I mean, Iran was trying to connect passes, and he's there to sniff him out.
Yeah.
Right? So really pleased with Team Ream and what an awesome like comeback story, and man, we're gonna need him.
I will say there is bad news for him and Jedi when they get back to Fulham. They actually just drew Hull City in the FA Cup third round.
Oh boy!
So they actually have to go away after coming back from Qatar. Their first game is going away to Hull.
Oh boy!
That's gonna be quite the test for the boys coming back home. I mean, you know, they've played some decent squads so far, but they haven't matched up against Hull.
Well, Gabe, I have to ask you. I mean, yeah, just props to Tim Ream. But CCV, I don't think any of us necessarily saw him getting thrown in there. Gabe, you're a CCV guy. You've been calling for him to get called in for a long time. He gets called into the World Cup squad. He hasn't played a minute in this World Cup. And Berhalter says, CCV, you're in. Zimmerman, you're out. What can you say about CCV from today?
I mean, this is what me and Cody were also talking about. This is like, you know, I wish someone of the journalists asked, you know, Greg after the game, you know, like, hey, what was the kind of reasoning behind? Was it just set pieces? Because he didn't really get too involved in set pieces. When Zimmerman came in at the end for the last, whatever it was, 15 minutes, he won every single head ball there was. So it's not like Zimmerman's inept in the air.
Zimmerman's probably better than CTV in the air.
I mean, yeah. Judging by the last 15, of course. So, I don't really know what the sub was for. And also, I think Ream and CCV had never played before together, start before the start of this game, which is another kind of, you know, strange decision. And also, I guess, in most professional levels of soccer, you very rarely see the center backs change. That's kind of a staple throughout the squad, barring, you know, card trouble or injury.
But he did well today, though. I mean, he had CTV, right?
He did perfect wrong. Right. We were saying that he should get some MMA gloves, and he would just look terrifying.
Yeah, he looks he looks like an MMA fighter.
Yeah,
he feel like one, right? Like if he had MMA gloves with, you know, the fingers cut off of his gloves and stuff, like I would be terrified to play against CTV.
So my question is then. Not necessarily on that point, but who do you start in the back line on Saturday against Netherlands? 7 a.m. Pacific time, 10 Eastern. Oh. All those tuning in.
Oh.
Who are we starting in our back line? Is it Zimmerman or back in there? Or is it CCV and Ream?
I don't really. I haven't seen too many of the Netherlands games so far. Are they? I mean, again, it's judging by Greg's comments. If they're a counter-attacking team, he's going to play CCV and Ream. We have no card trouble, right?
I hope not.
I hope. Right? I think CCV did a great job today, but I don't know if he did better than what Walker Zimmerman can do. That's my opinion. I put Walker back in there with Ream.
Okay.
Destin Jedi as well, same back line as the first two games. So what do you think, Danny?
Yeah. You know, Zimmerman's passing was not great over the course of the first two games. I mean, it wasn't terrible, but he had a couple of pretty crucial giveaways that almost led to opportunities for our opponents. So,
I got you on Team CCV.
Well, CCV, I feel like he did not necessarily put a foot wrong. He could have gone into a couple of tackles a little bit harder. I'm going to need the night to think about this one. But
okay. Here's the final one, the kicker. Zimmerman gets back in because he's our best header of the ball and he needs to mark Virgil van Dijk on defensive set pieces.
That's a fair point that might make me lean towards putting Zimmerman back in.
Yeah.
Because van Dijk obviously is a beast. And yeah, Netherlands now, I saw this, 18 games unbeaten.
Okay.
So they're coming into this game. Obviously, they finished top of Group A with Senegal, Ecuador, and Qatar. They finished top of that group 7 points. That's why we're playing them. USA finished second in Group B on 5 points. England, top of our group at 7 points. England, I don't know if we mentioned this, but beat Wales today 3-0. So it ends up being England and US going through and Wales and Iran going out. I'm intrigued to see the build up these next few days as to just tactically, personnel-wise, how we're doing health-wise. And how Berhalter is going to set this one up, because Netherlands, as we know, is a great team coming from from UEFA, and there's a reason why they haven't lost in 18 games. So it's going to be a tough matchup.
No card trouble for them either. Full squad.
Full squad. Okay. US has made the round of 16 now. 4 of the last 5 times they've been in the World Cup. Obviously, again, as you mentioned, Gabe missed the 2020 World Cup. So couldn't have made it there. But going back to 2002, made it. 2006, obviously, crashed out of that one. That was the one where the U.S. went in ranked number 4 in the world. But then 2010,
way
the land.
Yeah, I mean, look at Belgium, was number 1 in the world right now and not looking so great.
That's true. 2010, make it through the round of 16. And lose to Ghana in the round of 16, and then 2014 make it through to the round of 16, lose to Belgium. So now we've got the Netherlands, and man, I'm excited for it. I really feel like this U.S. team, like Berhalter said it, on any given day could beat anyone. I mean, we showed how tough we can give a game to England. And if we're going to play as well as we have throughout this group stage defensively, and we keep playing like that, and we create some chances going forward, which I believe we can, I think I give the U.S. a shot to win that game.
As I've said before, the U.S. embraces the underdog role better than having to make the game, right? As you know, as the team that should win, right? Like today was, I think, generally speaking, most people are thinking, okay, you know, U.S. is supposed to win. They're going to have all the ball. Iran's going to sit back and look to counter. So for the U.S. to make the game and find a way to win today was great for our growth and development and showing the progress of this group and this team. I think when we played England, we demonstrated that when we are listed as the quote-unquote underdog in the team that on paper is not as good as the other team, it behooves us. It helps us, right? And it allows us to play with less pressure and more freedom. And so I'm hoping that gives us kind of that mentality to go into the Netherlands game and in the round of 16 and cause an upset. I think we can if we're ready, if we're prepared, and if we're healthy and ready to roll. So, yeah.
Love it. Love it. Yeah. Any, I guess, final thoughts, man? What an exciting time to be a fan of the U.S. I'm so glad we're having this conversation and not the conversation of, oh man, we drew again and we tied all three group games. I'm so glad that we got a W. I mean, quite frankly, if we didn't beat Iran, we didn't deserve to go through, right? And we wouldn't have gone through. So, I don't know. Any final thoughts from either?
It was a round of 32 game today, right? It was a must win. So, you know, the knockout stages just started one game sooner for us, and we won our first knockout stage game, if you look at it that way.
Yeah, shout out to Uruguay, Ghana, the rematch, same thing, round of 32. Luis Suarez handball.
Right.
Winner makes it to the round of 16. Right. Yeah. One other thing, Danny. Do you think Matt Turner could make you at this point?
I mean, what Mikel Arteta has done at Arsenal and transforming this Matt Turner into just a maestro in the back has been incredible to see.
Seriously. First touch, dribbling. No fear at the end of the England game, right? I mean, he's dribbling out of the back. I mean, I almost crap my pants. It's terrifying. But he was cool, calm, collected. And he's like, no problem, guys. I've only been playing soccer since I was 16. And, yeah, this is what I do.
So. Incredible. He's an incredible story, too. I mean, again, the first time in 92 years we've had two shutouts in one World Cup. So.
You should read that should maybe for a different podcast. Cody needs to read a thread on the 1930 World Cup in which the I think all the teams traveled to Uruguay via steamship. They all picked each other up and they had like training sessions on the boat on the way to Uruguay.
No way.
Yeah. So that's save that for another day. But yeah, that was a thing I learned today. Yeah.
We might have to do a full pod just on that.
Yeah. Also, real quick about that, Egypt was the one African representative. They missed their steamship ride, so they couldn't attend the World Cup. They sent a telegram over to Uruguay saying, apologies, we missed our boat. We can't make it. So they were left with an uneven amount of number of teams there, 13 teams, which threw a wrench in it all. But wow. Anyways.
And let's just say things got violent as well.
But to be honest, that sounds a little bit better than the Fyre Festival Qatar World Cup in some ways, believe it or not. So, but hey, I'm looking forward to just win, baby.
Parting U.S. men's question. Who takes set pieces against Netherlands?
Well, depending on
Turner. You just bring him up. Bring him up.
I like that. Well, depending on Pulisic's health, I mean, he may or may not play. I think he's.
I mean, even if he is healthy.
Even if he is healthy, who else is going to take him out there? I'm trying to think. In terms of who's going to be starting. Maybe do you put Yunus Musa on the ball? He didn't have a great free kick today.
Do you put Robinson or Dest?
You know, you could put, I would say, You know, Serginho Dest hit some good crosses today. He's not known for hitting great crosses. Maybe Anthony Robinson, depending on the situation. I could see either of those guys being okay.
They've been so poor so far.
Yeah, I think our set piece coach is really going to be working hard these next few days. He's going to be clutch.
Everybody keeps pointing that out too.
Maybe he only works on defensive set pieces.
Yeah, he's going to change his title.
Well, for Cody and Gabe, I'm Danny. Cody, before we go, though, I think you need to leave us with a little song.
We love you. We love you. We love you. And where you go, we'll follow. We'll follow. We'll follow. Because we support the U.S., the U.S., the U.S., and that's the way we like it. We like it. We love it.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. Go USA. We will see you on Saturday.
Shout out to Matt and Paulo Carroll. Stay 100. Hope all's good.